Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, March the 18th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a drug dealer caught singing while counting his illicit cash has been jailed.
Dirty cash, I want you. Dirty cash, I need you more.
A dad and stepdaughter have joined forces to bring traditional English food to a Kent town.
Good old-fashioned food, you know? That's what we're after. And we want it to be a nice place for people to come. We're keeping it oldie-worldy, because the building's really old.
And it was another defeat for Gillingham in League Two.
Gutted for the boys, because they've given everything there. They really have, you know, and yeah, unfortunately we came away with nothing.
But first today, the number of cases of meningitis in Kent has risen to 20. Medics say six are confirmed to be Group B meningococcal disease, or MenB. Two young people, including a sixth form pupil, have died while the others are being treated in hospital. The Health Secretary has described the outbreak, which centres around Canterbury, as unprecedented. Wes Streeting updated MPs in the Commons yesterday and insisted experts had acted as quickly as possible.
Mr Speaker, it is important that the House and the wider public understands that even before the public health alert was issued, students and young people who had been in close contact with suspected cases were being offered antibiotics. This is precisely what one would expect as a rapid response, and I'm confident UKHSA acted as quickly and as comprehensively as possible.
We're also now starting to hear more about some of those who've contracted meningitis. 21-year-old Keely Goodwin lives in a house share in the Wincheap part of Canterbury and became ill over the weekend. She's still in the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford, and her mum, Callie, who lives in Herne Bay, has been updating Kristen from our colleagues at KMTV.
Her blood pressure is coming down, her temperature is coming down, so it seems that we're over the worst and that it's on the mend now. It all started on Saturday morning. She woke up quite ill, and it sort of slowly got worse. So she called in, been sick at work. She gave me a ring and she said, oh, she said, I really don't feel good. She said, I've got really bad fever. She said, my head hurts. She said, I just don't feel very well. And I said, oh, I said, it could be COVID, like we all think. I said, you should have some tests. I said, just to make sure, you know. So anyway, I said, just sleep as much as you can. I said, keep drinking water. Later on, she rang me again and she said, it's getting worse. She said, I'm literally soaking wet. She said, I'm sweating so much. She said, my head, she said, I can't even move. My head is just so painful. She said, my body's stiff. She said, it feels like I'm just completely and utterly stiff. Like, really, she was being sick as well. And then I sort of said, well, there's nothing really to do. Like, you just have to sleep it off. That's all you can do. And then I woke up the next morning to voicemail saying that she had been taken to A&E and was in hospital. I just kept phoning the hospital to find out what was going on, what it was. When they said it's suspected meningitis, I was just completely blew me. So then I was looking into how would she have got it. She had all her vaccinations as a child. We've always been quite strict on that. So it was just a case of, when can I see her? I need to see her. You know, the word meningitis is just, it's the most scariest word you can ever hear as a parent.
And what is the hospital like? Is there a lot of people there? I'm assuming maybe your daughter is away from others who might be also have the disease.
She's actually in isolation. They're very strict on it. They wasn't actually going to let me in when I went to see her Sunday, until obviously I told them that I was her mum. So I was allowed in. I did wear a mask, but she is very strictly in her glass cubicle, if you like. So they're pretty good. I'm pretty impressed.
Can you tell me when she went to the club, and just give me a bit of a timeline there as well?
So she went there on Thursday the 12th, and then Saturday the 14th, she was taken to hospital. It's quick. It is quick. And from her first symptoms sort of in the morning to obviously, within 12 hours, to be in A&E, sort of basically fighting for her life. I mean, this is a quick worker.
Meantime, it's emerged a baby girl from Folkestone is critically ill with meningitis in hospital. 9-month-old Nala Rose is being treated at the Evelina in London. Her condition has been described as stable. It's not known yet if it's linked to the outbreak in Canterbury, but investigations are continuing. Now, as we've mentioned in previous episodes, the outbreak is being linked to events at Club Chemistry in Canterbury earlier this month. Anyone who was there is being urged to get antibiotics. So far, 2,500 have been handed out at 4 clinics in the county, but thousands more are available. I've been speaking to Dr. Anjan Ghosh, who's Kent's Director of Public Health.
Main message is to not get overtly anxious. Meningitis is not like COVID, so it's not the same like COVID that it gets just transmitted easily. It requires very close contact, prolonged close contact. So that really means that you're pretty much living together. You're sharing the same household, same utensils, intimate contact, and that kind of a thing. So if you're in contact or have been in contact with a confirmed or suspected case of meningitis, then you would be classed as a close contact and therefore would be absolutely necessary for you to get the antibiotic prophylaxis, of which there are now 4 centers set up. So it's very easy to get it. There's no need for any appointments. Just go and get it. If you're not in that group, then you don't really have that much to worry about. It is very upsetting and it's very concerning as well, but you really don't have much to worry about. So basically, just be aware of the symptoms.
I've heard some people today, because obviously it's being linked to nights at Club Chemistry, and there's been some talk about people maybe sharing drinks, glasses or bottles, and vapes in particular seems to have been mentioned. Is that a possible way of it transmitting if one person was sharing a vape amongst a group of friends, something like that?
Short answer, yes. It is a possibility. So you would be classed as a contact if you did that. Mentioning Club Chemistry, so we did a lot of work, rather UKHSA did a lot of work working backwards from the known cases and their contacts to try and identify any common points of, kind of where everyone was together. And you're right, Club Chemistry is one of the main areas. It's thought to be the super spreader event where a lot of the spread of the bacteria did take place. So if anyone was in the Club Chemistry on the nights of 5th March, 6th March or 7th March, then please head for one of those 4 outlets which are providing prophylaxis. You need to have prophylaxis ASAP, really, because you might be at risk.
And there's enough of that antibiotic available, is there?
We've got enough for the population that we think will require it, which could range from anything between 6 and 10,000 people. Now, I'd like to also make a plug. So the estimated number of people who need the prophylaxis and the actual number of people who've turned up at these sites, there's much less turning up, which means that not enough people are coming to get their prophylaxis. And there could be lots of reasons for that. So please, 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 if you fit into that category, 5th to 7th of March at the Club Chemistry, or you're a student of University of Kent in that particular group, then please proceed and get your prophylaxis. There is enough prophylaxis available. It's very simple. Just step in. No appointments needed, and it's just a single dose of an antibiotic.
And why is that antibiotic so powerful? Can you just explain to us why that is going to be so helpful?
So this particular meningitis can be caused by a virus or a bacteria. This is caused by a bacteria. We even know the strain now. It's basically the MenB. It's called meningitis B serotype. Now, that is a bacteria. There are a lot of bacteria that live normally in your body. And this is one of those bacteria that lives in your body normally, and it lives in the back of the throat. So what this does, the antibiotic, is it wipes out those particular bacteria from your throat. And in doing so, it breaks the chain of transmission and the likelihood that you might land up transmitting it to someone else. So it breaks that chain of transmission and contains the risk of this spreading in ever-widening circles.
From today, GPs will also be able to prescribe antibiotics to anyone who visited Club Chemistry between the 5th and 7th of March. And due to the severity of the outbreak, a targeted vaccination programme is due to get underway in the coming days, starting with students in halls of residence at the University of Kent. That's around 5,000 people. And you can continue to see updated information on this story by heading to Kent Online throughout the day.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. And tenants living in a sheltered housing scheme in Rochester say they've not been able to drink the water from their taps for 5 months. Around 60 people at Yeoman House in Prince Street say supplies are smelly, discoloured and foul-tasting. Housing Association MHS Homes say it is safe to drink but are continuing to provide bottled water while an investigation takes place. Follow Kent Online on socials today to see pictures of a woman police are hunting after two people were attacked with a wine bottle in Rochester. It happened as they sat in a car on Fort Pitt Hill near the junction with New Road on Friday afternoon. The victims were treated in hospital. A man who defrauded other men he met on dating sites out of nearly £30,000 has been jailed. Canterbury Crown Court was told Thomas Godden was in a heterosexual relationship but posed as a gay man to target his victims. The 26-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been locked up for 3 years. A suspected drug dealer has been in court after £240,000 worth of cocaine was found at a house in Broadstairs. Police searched two properties last Thursday and discovered 3 kilos in a bedside cabinet. A 46-year-old from the town is accused of possession with intent to supply. Meantime, a Birchington man who organised the supply of Class A drugs across East Kent has been locked up. Police say Bertie Payne used a luxury watch business as a cover-up. An investigation uncovered CCTV footage of him singing as he handled illicit cash.
Dirty cash, I want you. Dirty cash, I need you more.
This is the moment he was arrested at a car park at Bluewater.
By the moment, you're detained, OK? We've got reports of suspicious activity involving these vehicles, OK?
These vehicles?
Yes, mainly your vehicle.
Police have also released footage of a raid that was carried out at his property.
Police! Police! Police!
OK, mate, you are under arrest, OK? What I'll do, I'll explain everything in a second, all right?
The 30-year-old from Plumstone Road was jailed for 15 years. 8 others who were also involved in the operation have been locked up.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent boy who needed his legs amputated after suffering abuse from his parents has been to Downing Street to discuss a new child cruelty register. Tony Hudgell was hurt when he was just 41 days old. He's been working alongside adoptive mum Paula to have parents guilty of neglect face similar monitoring to sex offenders. They've met with the Prime Minister to talk about the proposal. It's feared there could be disruption if Operation Brock's installed on the M20 this Easter, as roadworks are also planned on the nearby A20. Temporary lights are set to be installed between Lenham and Harrietsham, so a new sewage pipe can be installed. The work's due to take place between the 6th of April and May the 29th. National Highways haven't confirmed if Brock will be going in place. Now, it's the last day to say what you think about plans for a new reservoir in Canterbury. South East Water want to build the facility just north of the village of Broad Oak in a bid to secure supplies in the east of the county. If approved, it would be ready by 2035 and supply 22 million litres of water a day. And plans have been drawn up for 19 new homes in a Kent village despite local opposition. Developers insist they will build much needed high quality homes in Wingham between Canterbury and Sandwich on a site currently being used for grazing. There are fears the area won't be able to cope with construction traffic. A decision is due by June the 10th.
Kent Online reports.
We've had news today that Thanet has missed out on the opportunity to be named the UK's City of Culture in 2029. They'd bid to be known as the Isle of Culture in a campaign backed by artist Dame Tracy Emin. They're not on the list of finalists announced this morning, though. Among them are Milton Keynes, Sheffield and Blackpool. The Kent Online podcast has been told a number of businesses have applied to set up in a unit at the refurbished bandstand in Herne Bay. £43,000 has been spent on updating the structure. The council are going through the bids right now and will announce the successful one very soon. A father and stepdaughter have joined forces to bring traditional English dishes to a Kent town with a new upmarket eatery in a former landmark pub. Businessman Henry Cooper and Tabitha Bennett are transforming the old King's Head in Sittingbourne into a cafe and restaurant. Now, the property on the A2 London Road, right at the junction with Chalkwell Road, has been empty for almost 2 years. Henry's been speaking to our reporter, Joe Crosley.
It's going to be doing English food, traditional English food, and it's going to be open breakfast early in the morning, brunches during the day, weekends it'll be open in the evening, doing nice old English food like bacon pudding, steak and kidney puddings, bangers and mash, shepherd's pies, good old-fashioned food, you know? That's what we're after, and we want it to be a nice place for people to come. We're keeping it oldie worldy because the building's really old, and hopefully it'll take off in the community. They'll enjoy coming here and enjoy our food, and we'll be a success. That's what we're after.
Fantastic. So what have you got to do to the place to get it up to, well, we've up got, to standards?
We've got a lot to do. We're getting there, you know. We're fitting the kitchen now. We're going to have all the floors have got to be stripped back. A lot of decor, a lot of electrical work, and a lot of maintenance that should have been done where it's been left has got to be done first. But we're getting there. Hopefully we'll be there. We should be open. We will be open in April.
Brilliant. You know? Just tell me a little bit about why you took on this site in particular and how that story came about.
Well, we looked around at different sites, me and Tabitha, my business partner. We looked around everywhere, and we kept finding places, but we just weren't right. Here we've got a nice big car park, which is free. We're on the corner. A massive community of people around here. Everyone could see us on the main road. And it's a great spot. Good old-fashioned building. It's got a nice big garden out, which eventually, all goes well, we'll have a bed and breakfast built on the side. And we just thought it was a good place to start, you know?
And what's sort of your hope when it is all open? What's your hope for the place?
Well, to be busy, obviously, and to sell good food, what people want to come back for, and a place everyone can come, old, young, mums, kids, you know, everyone. So you can enjoy the atmosphere and the good old-fashioned English food.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the Gillingham manager is focusing on performance rather than results after last night's loss to Swindon Town. They were defeated 2-0 at Priestfield. The Gills managed 20 shots on goal but weren't able to make it count. Gareth Ainsworth says he's disappointed to come away with nothing.
In a nutshell, how we haven't took something for that game is amazing. We were definitely the dominant team, you know, 20 shots at goal. How some of those haven't gone in. The keeper's made a worldy save in the first half from a corner, and the one where Ronan's on the line scrambling to get it, I don't know how that stayed out. Two moments, Phil, where, yeah, we've got to defend better, right? I'll pick those moments out. They will be dealt with and those people will be told. But, wow, you know, a million miles away from the last two games. And that is because I think the more established players are back, you know. We're not so young, we're not so naive. And that's what you get, you know, and just gutted for the boys because they've given everything there. They really have, you know, and unfortunately we came away with nothing. But I'll have to say, you know, I think the applause drowned out the one or two boos at the end there. You know, I think there was an attempt to start, and then they're thinking, you know what, actually we've done everything we can today except score a goal. It'll come. Honestly, the future looks great for me because that's a team today that definitely are. There'll be one or two changes in there and maybe a few more for the summer. I've got stuff to build on, which is great, you know. Just want players to turn up every week. I want us to play like that on Saturday. Play like that on Saturday and we'll win again.
The Gills remain 16th in the League 2 table, and we can also hear now from striker Harry Waldock, who's just played the last two games after being recalled from a loan spell at Cray Wanderers.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, really. As you said, I was with Cray, played my last game about 3 weeks ago, was in and around sort of training, then I ended up getting recalled and then put straight into the team on Saturday, which I appreciate the gaffer doing that for me, giving me the opportunity to do that. And then, I mean, my aim now is just to try and stay in the team and keep my standards to the highest of their ability, really.
Just for those in the room and people watching, you've been in the academy for quite some time. Just talk me through your journey.
Yeah, so joined when I was 11 and essentially just kept on going up the age groups. Got my scholar when I was 16 and then started this year, signed my first pro contract, and just want to keep on pushing on that, really.
On to cricket now, and Kent head coach Adam Holyoake has revealed they've brought in a faith healer to fix their injury issues. The club have been plagued by problems for the last two seasons. They're doing what they can to get the team ready for the start of their campaign, which gets underway at Durham on April the 4th. And finally, David Lloyd have announced plans for indoor and outdoor pools, along with a luxury spa retreat at their newest club in Kent. They've applied for planning permission permission to develop the former Avenue Tennis in Gillingham. It'll be their sixth venue in the county. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.